So there should be a sheet of paper near you that has scripture on it. And that, what I wanted to do, first of all, is just to go and remind you what it says in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, for which Peter's ministry is modeled after, he didn't have the time to read it. So I just want to take the time to read it, if you don't mind. So let's just follow down through these scriptures. In Luke chapter 10, verse number 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. So in Luke chapter 9, he sent the 12 out. Now he's sending out 70 others. I love this story because these are not the original 12 guys, right? This is people who Jesus had called to come follow him, but he didn't deputize them like he did his original 12 apostles, you know. So this is 70 others. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So Jesus is going to visit a city. I want you to imagine right now that Jesus is getting ready to visit Wormleysburg, central Pennsylvania, Harrisburg region, and he sends out people to go before him. In verse number 2, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Now, that was not a threat. That was just letting you know, okay, you are going to go in the Spirit of God, and you will be lambs. And some people you meet will be wolves. It's just not always a good combination, because wolves have a tendency to want to eat lambs. And he's just telling them, not every event is going to be wonderful. He said, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. What's that? He's saying, look, I'm not sending you around the world. I'm sending you, like, to your neighbors. You don't need an overnight bag. You don't need to rent a room. You know, you don't need transportation. It's just where you are. Now, I want to stop for a second and say that, in my estimation, probably somewhere between 2 and 4% of the body of Christ ends up in foreign or traveling ministries. Okay, so there's a message for them. But for the majority of us, the vast majority of us, the Lord is not actually sending us across the world. He's sending us across town, or maybe across the street, or maybe across the living room, you know, to go in his name. Just hold that thought for one moment. I remember this story. I remember hearing Bill Johnson from Redding, California, Bethel. He told this story. He said that one day a guy was, you know, buying some groceries, and he saw someone who looked like they needed a healing. And this guy just took the opportunity to ask if he could pray for this person. He prays for the person, and the person's healed immediately on the spot. So he grabs the intercom from off the register stand. He says, folks, this man over here just got healed in aisle number 3. And if you need healing, please come to aisle number 3 and we will pray for you. And people started lining up in aisle number 3. And so they had a healing service right there, you know. So that testimony went around the world. So people came to Redding, California, Bethel Church, and they would ask Bill Johnson, could you show us your grocery store ministry team or your grocery store ministry outreach? You know, like, how do you do that? And Bill looked at them and said, we don't have a grocery store ministry team. We just have people who shop. I'm guessing, you know, like us, right? And so they just took Jesus where they were, and God highlighted an opportunity, and the person took the step of faith and offered prayer, and God did amazing things. So you don't need sandals. You don't need a money bag. You don't need a backpack. In verse number 5, he says, and greet no one alone. The thing about it is he's not saying don't talk to people. He's just saying be intentional. Don't get bogged down into, you know, like maybe just a conversation with someone that's leading nowhere. The person just wants to talk or whatever, you know. Be intentional about this. As you go, be intentional. And so you can be kind. You don't have to be rude. But then he says, but whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the labor is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for that city. Because Sodom and Gomorrah, instant judgment. Jesus was going to the cross. He would be judged. So the testimony of Jesus is greater than the testimony of Abraham and Lot and the rest of them. So anyways, that being said, God wants laborers to co-labor with him. I'm going to say it this way. It's maybe not 100% accurate, but the need for laborers is at least equal to the need for healings. Can I just tell you that if you get a reputation for being someone that... Let me use myself as an example. Let's not do that. Let's just use myself. I have never healed anyone, ever, in my life. But I was present many times when the Spirit of God healed someone, where Jesus reached out and touched someone. The healing's not from me. It's never been from me. Salvation is not from me. It's never been. I've just been a facilitator. And that's the point that Peter was trying to help us to see, is that God actually has designed this thing so that we get to co-labor with God. He needs people who are willing to be present and to offer the prayer or to offer a testimony. All right? So now, let's just look at this ministry model. On the right side of the sheet of paper with the scriptures on, there is four things that was shared with me. In 1993, there was a huge revival in Toronto. 95, there was another revival in Brownsville in Pensacola, Florida. And in that time frame, I met some people from up the river. I won't go into the details right now. And we had been comparing notes, and we sat down together one day. One of the guys leaned over to me, and he says, "Pastor Rich, I got to tell you something. No one is talking about this," but he said, "I can't stop sharing it." And I said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, he had been in Argentina in the middle of the great Latin American revival from the 80s through till 2000-something. Somewhat continues yet today, but the 90s was like the peak of this revival. And so when he was in Argentina, he was asking, like, what is the secret to their rapid growth in the church and the evangelistic move? And it wasn't what he expected. He thought that it was going to be the revival itself. That drew people in. Well, it did draw people in. But what the Argentinian churches were doing is they were following a model that they saw in Luke chapter 10. Which is, first of all, that when you meet someone new, you bless them. Peace be to this house. Shalom. You offer them the peace of God. You're offering to them the grace that God has given through Jesus Christ. So first step, peace to this house, or bless the house. Then the second thing is, he said, don't go from house to house. Just sit down and eat the food that they set in front of you. In other words, build a relationship. It doesn't mean that you can't go to someone else's house. What I'm talking about, what Jesus was talking about, can be just as simple as in a coffee shop. You could meet someone brand new, and you don't have hours with that person. You might have a few minutes. And you bless them by extending courtesy, by saying a word of blessing, or just acknowledging them. And if they take a minute and they're taken back by that and they want to go a little further in a conversation, then right there it might be an opportunity where you can sit down and have a cup of coffee together. I have a new friend. We had a coffee together the other day. And it doesn't mean that you have to go to everybody's house. But when you are at someone's house, bless the house in Jesus' name. And when you are in the coffee shop or the grocery store or at school or at work, just offer a blessing from the Lord. Offer a courtesy, a connection. Make eye contact with someone. And then, actually this week, I was in a place where I see someone pretty often, and this day they had flowers. And I just mentioned, "You have beautiful flowers here today." Face lights up. "Yeah, someone gave me flowers." I just immediately said, "Well, I think you were long overdue for flowers, you know. Someone blessed you and gave you flowers." And I said, "That's wonderful." Connection, a blessing, an opportunity to have conversation. You don't have to go from person to person or jump from place to place, but you can start to build a relationship. And then Jesus said the next thing that you can do is that you can pray for the needs, whatever those needs are. Maybe it's for healing. Maybe it's for a loved one, or someone's estranged from somebody. Maybe someone's going through loss. You know, our Kenyan friends, Bishop Rubin, one of his right-hand guys, suddenly died this week. They're grieving. You notice someone grieving, and you offer to pray for them. I mean, just pray. You're not going to bring the person back, because you're bringing some comfort. pray for their needs. We call them the felt needs, the needs that they feel. You and I know that the greatest need of the human spirit and soul is to know Jesus. But even before that, people have real needs. And so we're actually offering to pray for their real needs. And then when the Lord touches, when the Lord opens a door, when the Lord answers that prayer, now you have a chance to say that the same God who heard your prayer heard our prayers and our need for a Savior, and he sent us his Son. And we get the chance to preach the gospel. It's so simple. It's so brilliant. But the church has, for so long, actually started with strangers and preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel to them. If they hear us and don't reject us, we might consider praying for them. And if they heard us and we prayed for them and they didn't reject that, they received that, maybe even received a healing or a miracle, then there's a tendency to say, how about if I buy you a cup of coffee? And then we go out somewhere. And if that conversation goes well, then we would consider blessing them. It's good to meet you. Nice to know you. Has anyone noticed something about that? It's absolutely backwards from what Jesus taught. We have made presenting the gospel the most rejectable message on the planet. So, like, I know that when Dustin and these guys go out, they're going to go with food and offer food. And when people are eating and satisfied, or ask the question, why would you do this? There's where the doors begin to open to minister. So I'm just going to ask you to consider, in relationships at work, at home, at school, wherever you're at, in the public marketplace, consider Jesus' model. It's a beautiful one, and it works. It's not antagonistic. It's not harsh. It's not, you know why we get harsh when we're presenting the gospel? Is we're insecure. But when you know that you're loved, when you know that Jesus forgave you, you've got the best news on the planet. So, the first thing that I wanted to mention in my little notes of things that we need is to remember is that, according to Jesus, the need for laborers is even greater than our need for healing. And then secondly, consider the Luke 10 model, which, by the way, Peter mentioned this, and what he wants to do is help you with that third area, praying for the sick. His ministry is focused on that third area. My ministry, the church, as a pastor, is on the other three. We want to help you to learn how to bless people. We want to help you to learn how to build relationships with people and how to share the gospel. Does that make sense? So Peter's coming to do something kind of specialized. So what he wants you to do is to be confident that God will hear your prayer and he will heal the sick. And you'll take the risk. The third thing that I want to mention to you is that last week, some of them were healed. Others were not. Yet. Some are healed instantly. I liked Dustin's healing over here. You know, anyone have a shoulder problem? Dustin raises his hands. Peter announces the Lord's presence, acknowledges the Holy Spirit, invites the Spirit to heal, and Dustin's like, wow. You know, so immediate. I think there were a lot of things about that healing that just is textbook. You know, the immediate response and the immediate healing. Now, having said that, I can't promise that every person you pray for or I pray for will be healed yet, you know, in the moment. You could go out in the parking lot and apparently be healed. Well, we don't have a parking lot, but you could be out beside your car on the street and be healed. It could be later. It could be. This I know for certain is that every believer in Jesus Christ, all of us, will one day be completely healed. Totally. With the resurrected body, a real immortal body, and there's no more tears and no more pain. So we're helping people transition from here to there and to find Jesus in this process. So I just want to tell you, I cannot promise you that every person that you pray for or that I pray for will be healed immediately. But I can promise you this, all believers will be healed. You know what else I can promise you? If a person says to me, you know, Pastor, can you guarantee me that when you pray that I will be healed? I'll say to them, if that were up to me, of course, I would say, yeah, but it's actually up to the Lord. It's up to Him. There's so many things in this dynamic, you know. So I cannot guarantee that you'll be healed as soon as I pray for you. You know what I can guarantee? You'll feel loved. You'll feel comforted. You'll feel encouraged. Your faith will begin to rise, and you'll begin to look to the Lord as your healer. So many people were healed last Sunday. Not everybody was. I think it's important for us to remember that. Right? We good? We're not good? In my little musing, I would never encourage anyone I can't say don't be disappointed. I'm just going to say never be offended by what God has not yet done when you consider what He's already done. Don't be offended by what God has not yet done, remembering what He's already done, which is sending Jesus. And it's even by His stripes that we're healed. So I really think that it's important for us to maintain a posture of expectancy, expecting the Lord, rather than to be offended. Disappointed, I've been there, I've done that. Let me tell you something. When I had, I'll use this example. When I was down on my back with a kidney stone, a lot of people came and a lot of people prayed. And I appreciated every prayer. I really, really did. But there came a point where it's like, this isn't working yet. And therefore, could you just go home so I can just muster through this myself, you know? That's my pride, I know. But when you're in pain, it can be disappointed when you have not been healed immediately. Can I tell you about someone who walked in with pain? Walked in with a lot of pain in a wheelchair. And someone and myself started to pray for this person. And before I was finished praying, imagine that. The Lord healed them. I mean, sometimes the Holy Spirit can just be a little rude, you know. It's like, wait a second, I'm asking for healing. Could you just wait till I'm finished praying? Yeah, but apparently, I was not praying fast enough, and God was in a hurry. So this person was healed. And while I'm praying, the person decides to stand up. And I'm like, well, if you can stand up, do you think you could walk? And if you don't, I'll continue praying, you know. But the person turned around, pushed a wheelchair out, never returned to the wheelchair. So this is not abracadabra. This is not magic. It's not a magic formula. You can get the prayer wrong, and God is so desperate to reach people, to touch them. So don't be offended by what God hasn't done yet. That's just generally in life, especially healing. Okay, let's move on rather quickly here. The other thing is, one of the things that I find most annoying when I'm being prayed for is people wanting me to test it. You know, because after a while you just get like, nothing's changed. I'm not going to lie to you, you know. It's like, what is going on here? I just want to explain this. There isn't a need to lie and say you've been healed when you've not been. You don't need to do that. There is no need to just fall down when someone prays for you. There's no need to do that. If God touches you, trust me. You find yourself under chairs. Anyway. There's at least two reasons I can think of why we want to test it. And that is because the kingdom advances oftentimes as our faith grows and as we participate, as we act on our faith. I think that it's interesting that Jesus himself would say to someone, after smearing mud on their eyes, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. So the person wasn't healed when Jesus prayed or applied the mud or while they walked. It wasn't until they actually washed their eyes off in the pool of Siloam that the miracle took place, right? Sometimes the Spirit will have us respond in faith to something, which is why we'd say just test it. See if there's any change, right? Jesus had 10 lepers. He sent them away, and as they're walking, they were all healed. All 10 of them were healed. Okay? You know, there was times when Jesus said, stretch out your hand. A guy with a withered hand, stretch out your hand. It's like, what goes through your mind? So let me just tell you that what goes through your mind is so important. Instead of trying to figure out how's this going to work, how am I going to do what I can't do, just do it or try to and see what happens. I'm going to just tell you, it's amazing how many times people are healed when they respond to a word of command or direction, right? Second thing is that the kingdom advances in a way that when one person is healed, other people's faith are encouraged. They are encouraged. So when one person is prayed for and then someone says, now test it, and you go to test it, you say, I'm good, shoulder's fine, I feel good, you know? It's like that doesn't help as much as it could. What happens is that when you are asked to test it, you say, oh my gosh, the Lord has just healed me. And when he does that, you testify that, then someone else who's sitting in the room saying, wonder if I could be healed. It raises the level of faith. I'm telling you, faith is a really big deal to God. Trusting him is a really big thing. We're reading through and studying Hebrews 11 right now. And one of the things that we notice is that every person in that hall of fame of the heroes of the faith, every one of them were commended for something, not just that they believed, but something that they did based on what they believed. So we want to encourage other people's faith, and we want to see the kingdom advance as we walk in obedience. All right. There are various levels of faith. There is general, common faith, the kind that you get when someone shares Jesus with you, and the moment you start to think that maybe he would forgive you and you pray the prayer, that faith that is given to you, that's general faith, it's saving faith, or whatever you want to call it, but I'm just calling it general faith. But there's also the prayer of faith. That is something that the elders are supposed to do. You can be sick and come to the elders of the church and say, would you anoint me with oil and pray the prayer of faith? And the scripture says that the Lord will save the sick. He'll raise them up. So there's general faith. There's the prayer of faith. There's also a gift of faith. Gift of healings as well. Workings of miracles. Now, I think that it's beautiful when someone has a gift of faith, or someone has a gift of healing, or someone has a gift of a miracle nature. But I don't think that that's limited to certain people. I think that the Holy Spirit often will give a person a gift of faith for the moment, and their faith rises up. I think that's what happened to Peter when he stepped out of the boat onto the water. In that moment, he was given a gift of faith. And he had not been filled with the Holy Spirit. He had not experienced the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So just keep in mind that when a person comes and they remind us that by God's grace, that God has given to them a gift of faith, you don't have to wait for that person to arrive. You can have elders pray for you, or we can pray for each other and still experience miracles. All right. This is number seven, I think. And the iPad. I'm touching it. There it goes. So God wants to be your God, not just your healer. I can't tell you how important this is. Some people, and I understand why, rush. Whenever God's doing something in a place, God, they'll rush because their faith is high and the Spirit is moving and people are reacting and responding. And if we're not careful, we can get ourselves postured even as legitimate sons and daughters of the Most High God, adopted into the family of God, where we kind of think that life and the world revolves around us, not realizing that life revolves around him. So the God who heals you wants to be more than your healer. He wants to be your savior. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your God. And he wants to take you by the hand and lead you. He wants a relationship with you. there's anything I could say today that just burdens my heart so much, is that while you and I have life and breath, there is an opportunity to know God and for God to know us, for us to begin to walk in a relationship. Jesus would point out, he says, okay, healing is the children's bread. And I amen that. I just thank God. But then on another occasion, Jesus said, and man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So like a person could need a healing, and we're going to pray for that. We're going to continue to posture that way. But even more than that, he wants you to know him. He wants to know you. He wants to share life with us. There's a lot of things in this world that you'll probably never get your hands on. But anyone can have the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ and begin to live a life of supernatural provision, love, and mercy, and healing.